Now it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios. Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
Tokers and tokettes and non-token lovers of liberty. I'm Radical Russ. It's Toker Talk Radio time. The phone number is 971-533-7111. It's right there, right below my head, if you want to call in. We are covering the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. They just recently had their last listening session. I was at another one of these out in Beaverton, so I went to two of them. And I'm reading the remarks in our chat room about this, and you should note, and he notes this every time he gave this presentation, that not only is he the chair of the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, his day job is the district attorney of Klamath County. Klamath County is a south central Oregon county that was very against Measure 91. He also notes that he himself voted against it. Voted against Measure 91, as did Commissioner Michael Harper, the former Portland Trailblazer, admitted he voted against it, as did another one of the commissioners. I forget his name, the other insurance guy. He voted against it. No word on the other two commissioners and how they voted, but at least three out of five of the liquor control commissioners who are in charge of implementing Measure 91 voted against it. But they assure us that they have no conflicts of interest and they're only wanting to implement this in the most fair and sensible way as the people of Oregon voted for. Well, we'll see. We'll see how that turns out. So far, so good. They've been out doing these listening tours and soliciting public input and so forth. So that's good. And they're implementing a very generous timetable. We're not going to have a licensed operating doors open pot shop in Portland till almost the 2016 election. It's going to be like September, October before we have our first licensed pot shop. So there's a lot of time for them to plan and solicit input and all of this. And so for the rest of the show today, I want to talk about this idea of how do we implement recreational marijuana in a state that already has medical marijuana? It was a little bit easier for them to do in Colorado as the medical was highly regulated. In Washington, damn near impossible because it's unregulated. Oregon's kind of in the middle. Oregon's kind of got a decently regulated medical marijuana program on the retail side, but the production side's kind of vague. So how do you reconcile those two programs? And should you? Should there be a reconciliation or should there just be recreational marijuana? I mean, there's a point to be made there in that. Why did we start medical in the first place? What was the point of medical marijuana? Well, marijuana is illegal. And sick people could be busted. Now, I always found it a little morally reprehensible, this idea that, well, if you're just sick enough, we can decide not to ruin your life and bust you. I always found it a little bit discriminatory, but I understood, right? You know, politically speaking, in the 1990s and the 2000s, the idea of legalizing marijuana was so impossible that any movement forward was movement forward, right? Let's take what we can get and not throw a fit, right? So this exception was carved out. Keep in mind, medical marijuana didn't legalize a damn thing. Didn't legalize a speck of marijuana. It merely provided a legal exception to prosecution for certain people with certain conditions who've jumped through certain hoops. And not even that in Washington State. In Washington State, you can still be prosecuted. You just have an affirmative defense, right? But at least in most of the medical marijuana states, you have protection from arrest if you have your card, you're on the registry, and all that. So the whole original premise of medical marijuana was, don't bust the patients. Well, now we've legalized. And accepting for a moment those patients under the age of 21, and we'll get back to them, but let's just talk about the adults for now. No patient's going to get arrested anymore, whether they're registered, whether they have the card or not. So if medical marijuana was an exception to criminal prosecution and the criminal prosecution doesn't exist anymore, why is there a need for medical marijuana? Well, I'll tell you politically why there's the need. Because people have grown accustomed to their rights and privileges. Patients have grown accustomed to not having to follow a bunch of regulations, not having to pay a bunch of taxes, licenses, and fees, not having to be inspected and regulated, and having very large, in fact, the nation's largest limits here in Oregon. 24 ounces, that's a pound and a half of weed, and 24 plants, 6 mature, 18 immature. So to them, when you say, hey, we're just all going to be recreational now, you get 4 plants and 8 ounces. For some of them, that's like, what? And for others of them that are used to shopping at these dispensaries that don't have a lot of regulation, don't have a lot of overhead in testing and analysis and all of that, and don't have to pay any taxes, they're used to a pretty low price as well. There's some other elements as well. We'll get right back to this after we take a short break. There's so much to discuss. Medical and recreational. How can they live together?
Continue the conversation with Radical Russ online. Visit RadicalRuss.com and email RadicalRuss@gmail.com.
That's our topic for the day. Medical and recreational. How can they coexist and should they? Have some interesting perspective on that when we come back. Plus, a story here out of Portland, Oregon. Tragic story about a dead infant. It has me asking questions as to what are our standards for child endangerment in this country. We've also got our Daily Toker Tunes. Herb Thrasher will be calling in for Rockin' Friday. Stay tuned for that. We're back after these commercial messages. You're listening to 420radio.org. This is Toker Talk Radio. Science!
Radio. Tune in, turn on, get highly educated. Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal, ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers.
Hey, this is Big Daddy, and I want you to know it's never too late to join me at the Funky Roller Rink every Thursday night, right here on 420 Radio. I like it.
This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today.
That's music from Monster Truck with The Lion. That's some great Herb Thrasher Flower Hour music that we'll be playing at 8 p.m. Pacific time tonight. You want another preview of that? Tune in here. Stay tuned for our 20 after break. We'll have our Rockin' Friday Daily Toca Tunes, and Herb Thrasher will preview the show for you and let you know who our featured artist is. Coming back here, I wanted to make quick mention of a story here in Oregon. It was a really tragic story. This man who's a engineer, we're kind of called the Silicon Forest out here in Portland, just west of Portland in Beaverton and Hillsboro. All these, suburb communities are known as the Silicon Forest because we've got a lot of high tech out that way, including Intel, chip factories and stuff like that. So this guy works at Intel. One day he took his kids. I don't remember the story exactly, but he has two kids, a toddler and an infant, and took the toddler to the daycare and somehow forgot the infant and left the infant in the car seat in the back and went to work, went to the Intel plant and went to work. And not until the afternoon when the wife called and said, "Did you leave the infant at the daycare?" Did he realize, "Holy shit, I left the kid in the car." So he runs out to the car, which of course windows rolled up. It was like April, I think, is when this happened. So it was warm. And the baby was unresponsive and blue and died, right? Died from being left alone in this hot car. Tragic story, terrible story, right? But an accident. You can imagine how this kind of thing could happen, can't you? I mean, it's sad that it was a kid, right? But, you know, it can happen. It's an accident. And sure enough, in this case, K2 News here on their Twitter feed just let me know, they're one of our local news channels, that there's going to be no charges in the death of this infant. No reckless endangerment, no child endangerment, no child abuse. No neglect, willful, unintentional, anything like that. No charges will be filed. And I agree with that. I mean, the father has already suffered the worst punishment he could possibly suffer. The death of his infant child. So, yeah, no doubt about it. There's no need to prosecute this guy. But it does leave me wondering, what is our standard for accepting that something is an accident? Because you can damn well be sure that if that case wasn't the dad leaving the kid in the car who's dying in the hot sun, and instead this was the case of the dad left some pot gummies out on the coffee table and the infant got a hold of them and was taken to the hospital unresponsive, you can damn well bet there'd been some child endangerment charges filed. Willful neglect, anything like that. And you can damn well bet Child Protective Services would be taking that infant away from the guy because, number one, the infant would still be alive if it were pot gummy bears. And number two, Child Protective Services loves to take kids away over pot, even in a legal state. Hell, I got a story back from Idaho, my home state. This was last year, I think. Mom left her 4-year-old and her 2-year-old in the car. This was in Middleton, Idaho, which is in Canyon County, my home county. And this went on about the same time some parents I know were getting busted by CPS over marijuana. This mom leaves her 4-year-old and 2-year-old in the car. Just so happened she also left her loaded 38 in the car. I don't know if it was a 38. It was a handgun. Left her loaded handgun in the car. And sure enough, the 4-year-old found it, got a hold of it, and shot and killed the 2-year-old. Child endangerment? Reckless endangerment? Willful neglect? CPS taking the kids away? Nope. No charges filed. Just an accident, they said. It's an accident. Okay. Maybe, sure, okay, maybe that's an accident. Maybe the guy at Intel leaving his kid in the car, maybe that's an accident too. How is it less of an accident, I mean, than leaving the pot gummy bears out that don't kill the kid, like the hot sun in the car, like the handgun in the car? How is it that when those cases come up, man, Child Protective Services can't fly fast enough on that stuff, can't lock those parents enough quick enough, can't file enough charges against them for something that's not going to kill the kid? So, yeah, I'm glad that there was no charges filed in this Intel case, but I guess if it's an accident that kills your kid, that's punishment enough, but if it's an accident that just makes them too high, you need to be punished. Not sure how that works out. We get back to our topic, though. Our topic for today is the co-location of recreational and medical marijuana. Can it, should it happen? And I got to an interesting thought on this, because if you were listening to that first hour and Rob Patridge from the OLCC, somebody brought up a question of, well, if someone is doing a seed to sale grow tracking system, if someone is in the recreational marijuana side, could they supply to patients as well? Now, the concern from the OLCC is that on the recreational side, you know, people who aren't sick or just using marijuana for the fun of it, marijuana is going to be tracked seed to sale. We are going to know from the minute that marijuana was planted, who tended it, where it was tended, how much it produced, and where every gram of that marijuana got sold. I mean, that's the goal anyway, right? And then on the medical side in Oregon, you as a patient can pick any Oregonian to throw seeds in the ground or cultivate seedlings and harvest them and produce marijuana, which is only supposed to be 24 ounces, but nobody's really counting it or keeping track of it or where it's going or how it's going. And you can then, if there's more than the 24 ounces as the grower, you can get your patient to sign off and you can take that weed, but it hasn't been inspected or looked over in any way. And you can take and sell that to the dispensaries that aren't keeping track of how much that you're selling or buying. There's no inventory, no regulation by the state. So it's understandable why the Liquor Control Commission's looking at the rec side saying, hey, if it's going to be so tightly tracked on the rec side, we can't have medical in a recreational store where there's no tracking whatsoever. That's a logistical nightmare. And that's bound to lead to diversion from one side to the other and rouse some federal attention.
Beep! the Nile ain't just a river in Egypt.
There's another thing. If you'd have bet me when I was watching Saturday Night Live in the 70s and 80s that Al Franken, the guy who plays Stuart Smalley in the 90s, would be a senator from Minnesota, never would have picked that one either. Ohio's going to legalize before California, and Al Franken is a senator. Strange times we're living in. Happy 420, everyone. We're back with Herb Thrasher right after this.
420 Radio, the world's voice of marijuana legalization.
With over a billion people in the world, chances are there's somebody out there just like you. There are software engineers, pastry chefs, artists, and people with medical conditions. And what do many of these people have in common? They use marijuana. It's expected that marijuana will be legalized in California. And when that happens, what will be the biggest concern? Safety. That's where we come in. High Def Transit is a discreet shuttle service that also serves as a mobile vapor room. Members can medicate on board while our certified drivers get you to your destination safely so you can enjoy the ride. So hop in, make friends, and ride safe. High Def Transit.
Get.buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Rockin' Friday, featuring rock, metal, and the hard edge of alternative country. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It's Friday. It's time to rock. We made it to the weekend. We got our 420 going on, and colonists from work, the diligent metal marijuana warrior that he is. It's Herb Thrasher, everyone.
How's it going, dude? Yeah, I'm hard at work, man. I really am. This is my second office out here in the van, and we get things done as we do. Having a great week. It's been an amazing time here in cannabis, moving ahead forward. I went down to Salem with you on Wednesday and really enjoyed hanging out at the Capitol and kind of seeing some of the proceedings go on there. And then yesterday we had the OLCC implementation hearing as well. And it was just fun. It's just great kind of seeing all this go down, getting the perspective from a whole different area. And a lot of hope, a lot of work to do, a lot of things we have going on. Luckily, we've got a new Portland Normal chapter and other groups out there doing a lot of fine work to help us move on. And so just looking forward to seeing where this goes. Have a great Herb Thrasher Flower Hour tonight at 8 p.m. right here on the 420 Radio Network. We're going to be calling Nashville, Tennessee. There's a great band down there called The Graces. And we're going to talk with Iz Stone, lead singer. They're a three-piece band. And they're kind of rock alternative, got a grungy kind of sound, and very cool. We played a tune from them right here on the Rockin' Friday about a month ago, and we're going to talk with Iz tonight about all things Nashville. They have a brand new album out called Westing, and we'll talk about that and just get a good feel for them. And I love exploring new bands, new music, and the Graces fall right into that. Which takes us to our Rockin' Friday tune for today. Another new band, new music, new sounds, and that is Stereo Creeps. And they are a band out of Seattle, Washington. And they have like a loud, abrasive kind of sound real big guitars, a lot of bass and pummeling drums together, and a lot of undertones, very psych rock and very kind of psychedelic and just kind of heavy, and combining it all together. And Sean and Mark and Robert and Ian, a four-piece kind of rock and roll gravy kind of band, just put out one of their first full-length albums, and that is Cave Dwellers of Tomorrow, which is out now, as I mentioned, and you can get it on vinyl, CD, and it's also a digital download. They have a Bandcamp page, stereocreeps.bandcamp, and you can check that out. Also, a Reverb Nation page, .com/stereocreeps, and a Facebook page as well. Just posted a brand new t-shirt, going to be playing some gigs in the Northwest area. So this tune right here is the title track from their brand new album, Cave Dwellers of Tomorrow. You guys have a safe weekend. We'll see you tonight on the Herb Pastor Flower Hour, and keep smoking. Turn it up, folks.
All right, Cave Dwellers of Tomorrow from Stereo Creeps, and join us at 8 p.m. tonight. We're here live with Herb Thrasher, getting our rock on.
Oh, called Everybody Gets Nugs.
Into a strange place called Wonderland.
Wait!
I'm late. I'm late.
Hey, wait!
I'm too late.
Nowadays, there are still girls and boys whose curiosity leads them to strange places.
What a curious ball. I can't tell where this is going.
Oh, I'm late! I'm late! I'm too late!
Where'd he go? And where am I? A medicine cabinet? What's it doing here? Aspirin? Things Mommy gives me when I'm sick. Prescriptions? Mommy has to get those from a doctor. I wonder whose they are. Oh! Cigarettes? I know they're not good for you. Curious. Liquor? A liquor cabinet? That's not good for kids either. But, what? Oh! Maybe cigarettes and alcohol are like medicine. I didn't ever think of that. They're all things that make you feel different. That change you. Curiouser and curiouser. What kind of place is this? Mommy or the doctor wouldn't have anything to do with this. This stuff just looks like it could hurt you. Oh, that must be where that rabbit went. But I'm too big. If I could change myself. Gee, I don't know. Maybe if... Well, here goes. Oh! Oh, wow! Oh, wow. It's weird. Everything's different. Even me. I'm not somebody else. But I don't feel like I'm really me, either. Oh! Hi! I'm Alice. Hello? I'm Alice. Who are you? Hi. Said hi. They've got to really be here. They must have seen me. Unless I'm not really here. Oh, well, sure, I'm really here. And I'm going to stay till I find out where this is. Then I'll go back.
I'm late. Oh, I'm late. I'm too late.
Wait! Too late for what?
I'm late. I'm too late.
Do it in time.
I don't think so. I like being really me, don't you? And today being all different sizes is confusing. I don't know how high I'm supposed to be anymore.
How high do you want to be?
No, I guess I don't want to be that kind of high. Why do you?
What kind of question is that? You're just a kid, aren't you?
Sure. I'm still growing up, and I'm supposed to ask questions. Why does it make you so angry? Don't you know why you do it?
I'm not angry. I'm not angry. I'm not angry.
Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Connect with 420radio.org through social media, on Twitter at 420radioorg, and our Facebook page at 420radioorg. Follow us and like us today. You'll be glad you did. The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, treat law enforcement with respect and stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney." Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at...
Back. That's Clutch with Tim Suit versus the Grays. And I hope you enjoyed that weird video that was Curious Alice. Love looking back into the vaults of those 60s, 70s anti-drug things. That's a little too long for the anti-drug public service announcement of the day, so I saved it for hour two for you. Oh, didn't mean the quick transition there. I forgot that was video. So sorry about that. But welcome back. It's Toker Talk Radio. Phone line is 971-533-7111. I have so many new phone numbers going around in my head. I have to stop and think. Which one am I giving out? Oh, yes. The studio number. 971-533-7111. It's right down there. See? You look at it right down there. We were discussing the idea of medical and recreational marijuana co-location. And I brought up the point that you got one side, and this is the same point going on in Washington State. You got one side that's recreational, that's brand new, and being brand new, it's more sophisticated. It's got tracking, it's got security requirements, it's got testing and labeling and all these rules and taxes associated with it and stuff. You know, like a legal product would. And on the other side, you got these medical things that have been running since the 90s that were exceptions. They were just exceptions to being busted. They didn't intend to set up any sort of regulatory scheme aside from, can we accurately track who's not getting busted and what limits they're under? And it kind of evolved, you know, in the sense that you kind of tack on these amendments and some fixes here and there to it. You know, like at first medical in Oregon was just 7 plants, or 3 mature, 4 mature, and like 3 ounces, 1 away from the house, something like that. And the medical community said, man, that's not enough plants. It's not enough possession. We're going nuts here. So it was a compromise made. They increased the limit to 24 plants, 24 ounces, but they did away with the affirmative defense. Then as 2013 came around and more people were shopping at these ersatz medical dispensaries that weren't, you know, legal or registered in any way, the legislature caved in and said, well, all right, well, we'll regulate this retail side of things. We'll figure out, you know, okay, you can have a shop and we'll have a way to license it and make sure everything's on the up and up. But they didn't address the production side of it. Well, where's that weed coming from? Well, it's the medical weed. Well, where does the medical weed come from? Well, growers grow it. Well, how do they grow it? Where do they grow it? How are they, is it inspected? Is it tested? No, none of that. None of that was addressed, right? So you have a situation where this highly regulated side and this unregulated side are parallel to one another, selling the exact same damn product. Now, I know medical people get all upset. Russ, it's not the same. Medical marijuana is different. We need more CBDs and we need more lotions and tinctures. And right, sure. Sure. Look, I shop at these dispensaries too, folks. And when I go in there, most of what I see is recreational marijuana. Most of what I see is something that someone like me who wants to get high would buy and use. Now, does it also have certain medical relief? Yeah, sure. The super silver haze that I'm buying to keep myself creative and do this show every day might also help someone with multiple sclerosis with their spasms or whatever. I absolutely concede that. And I also absolutely concede that there's going to be things like Hippie's Disappointment, Charlotte's Web, you know, CBD oils, high CBD types of strains that perhaps I don't want because the CBD kind of kills the psychoactivity. But that's something that a legit, you know, pain patient or something might really want. So let's take out the exceptions because that's what they are, folks. Statistically speaking. And this is something that's bothered me about the medical marijuana side for a long time now. And it's this tendency to use the outlier as the general rule, right? And it dates all the way back to the beginning of medical marijuana. When it was time to lobby the legislature for medical marijuana, did they bring the healthy-looking 25-year-old guy who says he's got chronic back pain in to talk? No. They get the quadriplegic lady who's wheeling in on the electric chair through the puff of her breath. You get the cancer patient who's all gaunt and bald. You bring the outliers in who bring the most sympathy. And similarly, to this day, when this argument comes up about recreational and medical and how are they going to coexist, these outliers come up like, well, patients need high CBD. No, not most of them. Not most of them, because the only people that the shops can sell to right now in Oregon are patients, right? So if patients mostly needed CBDs, then what I would see on the shelves at the dispensaries would be mostly CBDs, wouldn't they? This is the problem with this arguing from the outliers, because at some point, people are going to call bullshit on it. Another point that'll get made is well, you know, we can't get rid of medical, because what about the patients under the age of 21? Well, come on, how many of them are there? Not a lot compared to the 70,000 adult patients that there are. And so just judging by what I see on the shelves at an Oregon dispensary, I see adults who are buying lots of recreational marijuana and keeping in business these shops to also provide for the outliers, for the minority, the truly medical products they need. Now, I think what we could do is find what works best in both sides and merge them. From a production standpoint, all the marijuana ought to be tested, inspected, and labeled in a consistent manner. Marijuana is marijuana. Whether I'm smoking it to get high or smoking it to relieve pain, I ought to be able to know what's the THC percentage, what's the CBD, where was it harvested, has it been tested for mold, all the things that you need to know. That's just as valid for a consumer as it is for a patient. So I don't think there's much disagreement on that. When it comes to the production, I think a seed-to-sale tracking system is a little ridiculous on the recreational side. We're trying to track marijuana as if it were plutonium, and we don't even really do that good a job of tracking plutonium, to be honest. So trying to track, like exhibiting this much paranoia to track something that is so harmless is disconcerting. But if there's going to be a strict level of regulation, everyone should have to follow that strict level of regulation. It's already enough incentive for the greedy growers out there. And when I specify greedy growers, because a lot of you aren't, most of you aren't, Most of you are compassionate, wonderful people, but come on, let's be frank. There are some people in it who are just doing it because it makes them lots of easy money. So it's already bad enough we've got a situation in medical that incentivizes the greedy grower to go out and harvest patient cards to card stack to be able to build up his garden, to be able to sell to the dispensaries and not be tracked or taxed or anything. That's already bad enough incentive to game the medical marijuana system. But now you want to set it up so that there's one production side that's subject to taxes and strict regulation and another production side that's not? That's even more incentive for the bad actors to move to the medical side. Don't we want to protect the patients from the bad actors? Don't we want to have the protection that the patients deserve, knowing that someone that's growing their medicine has been background checked, has paid taxes, has paid his licensing fees, is inspected and regulated? Why would we not want that? Now, the answer that always comes back when I bring this up is price. Why these growers, and you heard a lot of this in the Portland meeting. If we open this up, then medical has to compete against recreational and medical will never survive and everybody will become recreational because of the market, blah, blah. It's very interesting to me trying to simultaneously argue that they need, the patients need all this CBD, 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 but if we open it up to recreational, then suddenly medical will die. Well, wait a minute. Didn't you just previously indicate to me that there's a very strong niche market for medical products? If that market exists, someone's going to serve it. That's the way the capitalism works, I understand. But there are some things on the medical side that I'd bring over to the recreational side. What's this 4 plants, 8 ounces crap? Now, I recognize it was politically palatable. It was safe. It would win. Understood. But we've had a system now for over 15 years in Oregon where 70,000 adults who have medical marijuana patient cards are entitled to grow 24 plants each and possess 24 ounces each. And over 15 years, the sky has not fallen. The dropout rates have fallen. The traffic fatalities have fallen. But the sky has not fallen. So what is it that we're afraid of is going to happen if we extended those same limits to everyone over the age of 21? It's not like everyone's going to grow. The people who want to grow are probably growing already, either illegally or on the medical program. It's not like everybody's going to want to possess a pound and a half. You can only smoke so much. And if it's legal and there's always a store to go buy it at, there's not much point in stockpiling a whole bunch of the stuff. The prices are going to do nothing but come down the more people are in the game. And that's another thing that bothered me. There was a lot of sentiment at this meeting. I always call it the anti-Monsantites, right? Yeah, Monsanto! Except this time it was Marlboro, but same idea, right? Oh, big, bad, evil, huge mega corporations are going to come in and squeeze out all the little guys and make crap weed. Really? Who's going to buy that crap weed? Because already there's a big, huge mega conglomerate that's selling shit tons of crap weed in America. It's called the Juarez Cartel and the Sinaloa Cartel. And I ain't smoked Mexican brick weed in over a decade longer, except for maybe one of my trips to Missouri. Maybe. Hell, Budweiser and Miller and Coors brew a lot of beer, and yet Portland is known as the home of the craft brew. It's the craft brew capital of the country. How in the world did all the little guys here in Oregon manage to build a successful nationwide brand when they had to fight against the big, huge conglomerates of InBev and MillerCoors? The same thing is going to play out for marijuana. Oregon marijuana is going to get known as a niche market. It's going to be a certain cachet of its own. It's going to be a brand like Champagne or Bordeaux. You're going to associate fine, fine weed with Oregon. You can drink all the Budweiser you want. You can smoke all the Mexican brick or Marley Natural or Marlboro weed you want. I won't.
Sir, do you think there will or should come a time for us to discuss the possibility of legalization, regulation, and control of all drugs, thereby doing away with the violent criminal market as well as a major source of funding for international terrorism? Thank you so much for your time, Mr. President.
Well, I think this is an entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Name the time and place, Mr. President. Radical Russ has been prepping for this debate full-time since 2005. The Russ Belville Show.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with our Shoutcast stream for all internet-enabled media players. Go to rad-r.us/420shout or just click the Shoutcast icon below the live radio feed at 420radio.org.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com and follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, firedeuplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email fired.
Music from Brother Kane. It's been a while since I've heard that. Yeah, Brother Kane. That reminds me, Herb Thrasher Flower Hour tonight at 8 p.m. Pacific Time, live for 2 hours of metal, rock, maybe even some bluegrass, and then a live edition of Big Daddy Fink's Funky Roller Rink, because we messed up last night's Funky Roller Rink. Actually, it's all my fault. The Funky Roller Rink was ready to go. The window was up. It was all loaded. And then I forgot I had other tabs open, and one of them was my Google Calendar, and it popped up a meeting reminder. So it took focus off of the fifth tab that had the Funky Roller Rink in it, and that did it. No video. So you did get the audio last night. I hope you enjoyed it. I know I always do. So I'm looking forward to getting to hear it live again tonight. Join us in the chat room. We've got a real good group of chatters that are showing up now on our Friday night appearances. And it's a lot of fun. I hope you'll be there. All right. Quick news before I get back to the subject. And that is, we've got a second Republican who is now a Republican senator, now supporting the CARES Act. Now, the CARES Act is that federal medical marijuana bill unveiled by Senator Rand Paul, Senator Cory Booker, and Senator Kirsten Gillibrand. So Rand Paul's a Republican, and then Booker and Gillibrand are Democrats. Now there's a second Republican on board. That's giving us two Republicans, two Democrats, truly bipartisan support for the Compassionate Access Research Expansion and Respect States Act of 2015. Senator Heller said, quote, "The time has come for the federal government to stop impeding the doctor-patient relationship in states that have decided their own medical marijuana policies. This bipartisan legislation puts Americans who are suffering first by allowing Nevada's medical marijuana patients, providers, and businesses that are in compliance with state law to no longer be in violation of federal law and vulnerable to federal prosecution." Wow. We've got a Republican from Nevada and Republican from Kentucky who are more progressive in supporting medical marijuana rights than the senators from California that have had medical marijuana the longest. Dianne Feinstein and Barbara Boxer need to be signing on to the CARES Act, as do the senators in every medical marijuana state. If you are a senator who represents your state's interest and your state has decided to no longer prosecute people using marijuana in accordance with a medical marijuana law, then to not sign on to this act is to voice tacit approval for the continuing federal overreach into your state's rights to regulate the doctor-patient relationship. All right, so good news there. And then just winding things up, if I could wave a magic wand and just make medical and recreational perfectly work together, here's what I'd do. There would just be one system. There'd be one system of, there'd be a system called commercial marijuana. We don't care why you're buying it. The fact is, you're buying it and someone's selling it and it's marijuana. So I'd wave my magic wand and there'd be just one marijuana system, right? Now, I'd make the limits equal to what the medical side has. I don't understand why being sick means that 24 ounces is less dangerous than if you're healthy. I've never understood that. But if there's going to be different limits for medical and recreational, here's what I'd do. Have your one system. You want to be a commercial grower, you get a commercial grower's license. You want to be a commercial processor, you get a commercial processor's license. You want to be a retail dispensary, you get a retail dispensary license. You follow all the rules and regulations, the testing is in the inspections, the analysis and the stings and all the stuff that's done to a commercial marijuana market. And then there would still exist such a thing as a medical marijuana patient registry. And you could still go get your medical marijuana card if you wanted to. And having that medical marijuana card would be a point of sale rebate on any taxation on the marijuana. That's it. That's how simple it could be. What am I missing in this? Now, some people, the system now, there's compassionate growers who grow for patients and give it away free for people in hospices. And, you know, I think that's still going to exist. And I think it's going to be even easier to put together because it's going to be so much more marijuana and it's going to be so much more cheaper. So I'm not worried about those people going without. The more production there is, the more the price drops, the more it helps all the people. Let's just make it simple. Make commercial marijuana. Set up licenses for your commercial marijuana, however they work. And let medical marijuana be your A, your tax rebate card. B, your right to possess more card, if we're going to have different limits. And C, your out-of-state protection card when you go to some other state that has reciprocity. We don't need to have a separate line of processors and a separate system of growers and a separate set of regulations. We don't want to be ridiculous like Colorado and have buildings where there's two entrances. Whites and coloreds. I mean, sick and healthy. Two different entrances where we keep track of two different stocks of inventory that were grown seed to sale and never crossed the line in between, because if they did, I don't know, you're just never supposed to cross the streams, I understand. Time flies when legalized. We gotta go. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
you've seen, you've